And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl, Cynthia, but you know you can call me Kix, and not with me in studio. Well, I'm not in studio. In studio, we have
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin, and on the Zoom line is myself, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
And this week's hot politics, we are looking at, they're calling it an exodus from South Africa, the Great Exodus in South Africa. A few days ago, there were a bunch of, if not, I think 54 Afrikaners that got their refugee status in the United States. And obviously, there's a whole lot of opinion that has gone out in terms of that. And we're going to be discussing some of that. Pastor Gav, do you want to give a more brief explanation?
Yes, well, so obviously what's happened here is that Donald Trump has come out in particular in favor of the Afrikaans-speaking people. Now, just for people who might not be in South Africa, the white population of South Africa, comprising of about 4 million odd people, has different culture within it. And the two biggest groupings of white people are those that they Afrikaans speakers and those that are English speakers. Now, the Afrikaans people are known as the Afrikaners, and that's not all white people. It's probably about 55-60% of the white population. The rest are sort of English speaking, and then there are obviously some other groupings. You've got your Greeks and your Italians and, you know, people like that. But so what happened was obviously Elon Musk posted some tweets on X about the farm murders in South Africa and the race-based laws, you know, and some of the stuff we've actually discussed on The Political Show, you know, going back the last few months. And Donald Trump got a hold of this because obviously Elon Musk is close to Donald Trump in terms of the presidency. And so as a result of that, Donald Trump has obviously taken issue and has allowed Afrikaners. And if you look at the order that he's given, it's Afrikaners and other minorities from South Africa to be granted refugee status in the United States based on the fact that they're being discriminated upon in South Africa. That's what the order says. And in this past week, Gig said 54. So I've heard 54, but I've also heard 49 people got on a charter flight at our Tambo International Airport here in Johannesburg and were flown to America and landed in America earlier in the week. And they've now been granted refugee status in the United States of America. Obviously, there are differing opinions on this. And, you know, some people are saying, yeah, you see, look at this racist South African government. Other people are saying this is ridiculous and, you know, all of those sorts of things. And, you know, the bottom line at the end of the day is that South Africa now is a country which is people that have been granted refugee status in another country. And so we're gonna have a look at that today.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting show, as always, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Thanks.
We help distributors grow their sales by over 15% in the first 90 days with our automated mobile software solution. RapidTrade is used by over 16,000 users worldwide, and we process over 120,000 transactions per day on both iOS and Android. From app ordering and management to e-commerce and even van sales, or electronic proof of delivery, we've got your business covered. Call us for a demo on 011-493-9755 or email us at sales@rapidtrade.com. Go on, make your customer happy on today. by getting onto Rapid Trade.
This is Ready On Demand. What you want, when you want it. It's Active FM.
Active FM.
So we are looking at the great exodus that is taking place in that has taken place in South Africa. Well, that's what people are naming it or terming it. And I just want to look at what does it mean to be a refugee. So a lot of the Afrikaners that left a few days ago have been granted refugee status in the United States. And under the 1951 United Nations Convention, a refugee can be a convention refugee who has left his home country and has a well-founded fear of persecution for reasons of race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or a member of a particular social group. So this is what how the
sorry, which definition is that?
This is based on dha.gov.za.
That's from the United States.
It's a United Nations. United Nations.
Is that okay? So that's the United Nations definition, not the US. Okay. Sorry, carry on.
So that's what they say the a refugee is. So now, what's this? This term, Afrikaner exodus, has been apparently a growing trend of white South Africans, particularly the Afrikaner group, who are immigrating from the country. I remember when I was still in primary school or in school, most people were migrating, but I don't think it was just the Afrikaners, but most people were migrating to Australia. Yeah, at that time. I'm not sure if it's still a thing, but we watched a YouTube episode from Bonsai Shongwe, and he basically speaks about this exodus, and he frames it as not just a matter of race or privilege, but a symptom of a deeper systematic instability, speaking about the fact that there's tension within the nation. And he says, and I'm quoting him, he says, this isn't just a white fight. It's about what kind of country we are building and for whom. So what are your thoughts on that? The fact that it arises from a nation that is in tension.
Yes. Now, to be honest with you, just looking at what you were just talking about now, I'm in agreement with him, because at the end of the day, when I first saw those reports and I saw it on EWN, if I remember correctly, it was on Sunday. I think it was on Sunday, this past Sunday, that they boarded the flight. The first thing that I felt antagonistic towards the whole concept of these people going and being, you know, being refugees. However, when I looked on X and then I looked at what black South Africans were saying, they were saying derogatory things about white people and things like that. I didn't like that either. And obviously, the challenge comes in first and foremost, if you listen strictly speaking to that definition from the United Nations. White South Africans, and in fact, I'd include colored South Africans and Indian South Africans, do fall prey to that, as per current legislation. Especially if you look at the employment equity targets, you know, that have been set up. And obviously, the government is, the ANC is calling it targets, and the Democratic Alliance is calling it quotas. And the thing is, what the Democratic Alliance is saying is that it is a quota due to the fact that if you don't meet that so-called target, then you're liable for huge fines. So the DA has actually taken this thing to court. But the reality is, looking at employment equity, which is basically affirmative action, and black economic empowerment, which talks about the ownership of companies, you know, within the economy and stuff like that, and other things. There is a lot of legislation that is actually prohibiting a lot of young white, colored, and Indian South Africans, you know, from full participation in the economy, even if it's a company that they themselves have started. So you've got that problem. Now, some people are saying that there's genocide, and that's obviously because of the Afrikaner murders. Now, I know that a lot of, the farm murders. Now, first of all, not all farmers that have been murdered are Afrikaners. So that's the first thing that you need to understand. A lot of the You know, there's a significant portion of white farmers, of English-speaking farmers, which are not Afrikaans, depending where in the country you go. And then in addition to that, there's a growing portion of black farmers. I'm talking about commercial farmers. I'm not talking about where there's been political interference. I'm talking about where black people have actually bought farms and are actually farming them commercially. So farm murders is a problem for any farmer, irrespective of their race. So to frame it purely as a black-white thing, you know, stretching it, there are some of those murders, however, that I do believe are racially motivated. But the thing is, I mean, there are so many people being murdered in South Africa at the moment. So you could claim that any part of the saving population is being persecuted. And what I also just wanted to say, when I listened to the defense to say, it's not just whites, or it's not just Afrikaners, you know, that are being murdered. To me, that's a terrible argument. The amount of people that are being murdered in this country is atrocious. It's an absolute disgrace. And I mean, I'm hearing people defending the guys in the Gaza Strip, you know, the whole Israel-Gaza thing and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And the reality is there's more people dying here. There's more people dying in South Africa. And, you know, you can't just say because Trump's talking about the Afrikaners that it's not an issue. It's a massive issue. Okay, there's a complete breakdown in terms of law enforcement, in terms of accountability for taking another human's life, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. And these things need to be grappled with, and we need, you know, as a nation, we need to get a handle on this. And the police need to get a handle on what's going on here.
Yeah. So again, the question is, why are the Afrikaners leaving? So a lot of people are believing that they are leaving because of the following contributing factors, because of the rising crime rates, including, like you mentioned, the farm attacks.
That's not, yeah, if I can just mention, the people leaving because of rising crime rates is not a new thing, and it's not exclusively white people that are leaving. In fact, I know black people who've left, I know Indian people who've left, and I know colored people who've left too. You know, so the fact that people are leaving because of rising crime rates, listen, please don't argue that. That's a fact.
Yeah. And then it continues and it says the economic stagnation making it difficult even for skilled professionals to thrive. I think this is where BEE comes in.
I'd say it's not just BEE, it's actually Marxism. The fact is most of our political leaders, to one degree or another, we've actually spoken about this before on the show, even the Democratic Alliance, which is supposed to, they claim is a free market party, many of their policies are very similar to the ANC's. So, you know, there's a massive constraint economically on especially people that are entrepreneurs. And the challenge that comes in is South Africans of all race groups, in my view, are very entrepreneurial. Now look at what they do. And there are a lot of people who've left because the economy is stagnant, and I believe it's because there's too much government interference. Just to mention as well, that's also a legacy of apartheid. Under apartheid, there was also too much government interference in the economy, and it held us back.
Mm. Yeah. And then lastly is weakening national identity, where many feel politically alienated. So what are your thoughts on that?
I don't agree with it. I totally disagree with it. You know, first of all, if I look, for example, at the Springbok rugby team, and I look at South Africans of all race groups wearing the Springbok rugby jersey. Now, during the apartheid times, the Springboks, that's the rugby team, was the symbol of apartheid. And yet it's been embraced by all people. Now, if we manage to get a similar level of success with the soccer team, you know, which is colloquially known as Bafana Bafana, the South African soccer team, I believe you'd get similar levels of support from all race groups. So, you know, I don't agree that there's a weakening national. I think the South African national identity is stronger than ever. And that is an argument that I believe is being put forward by people who want to split the country up into different countries, like Cape Exit, or making KwaZulu-Natal the Kingdom of the Zulus or something like that. So I don't know what you think, Giggs. Maybe you disagree with me, but I vehemently disagree with that last point, personally.
I also disagree because, I mean, if you look at how we handled as a nation, the the COVID restrictions, how we handled as a nation the riots that took place in 2021, if I'm not mistaken. And when you look at a whole lot of situations that happen, you actually find that the country doesn't feel alienated. We know who we are as a nation. Majority of the citizens and stuff like that know who they are as a nation. So I also would say that I disagree with the fact that there's a weakening in the national identity and stuff.
I would just add to that is the fact that you know, when South Africans' backs are against the wall, when they're really in trouble, for me, boy, do they come together. You know, you mentioned the 2021 riots. I mean, South Africans of all race groups came together and said, "You're not burning down our shopping centres. You're not burning down our houses." And so the rioters got 3 days to cause absolute havoc. And then the people stopped it. I mean, the police were nowhere. The government had absolutely and utterly no control. And if it wasn't for the people of this country would have descended into a Mad Max world right there. And it didn't. It didn't. Because the people are resilient and put the people's backs against the wall. I've seen white people defend black people against black people. I've seen black people defend white people against black people. I've seen white people defend black people against white people. I've seen all sorts of things. You know, and there's two things that I believe South Africans are united by. The one is crime, because it's despicable what's going on. And the second is the way that we're being charged by the government through taxation. And the fact that we get nothing for our tax. Boy, people are united about that, eh? People are angry about that. And the politicians are blowing smoke about this. They're talking nonsense. They're blaming all sorts of other factors. But they need to get their act together, because people don't trust them. And I think South Africans have become united by their distrust of the politicians. You don't disagree with me. Looking for argument here.
No, I don't think with this whole situation with the immigration of the 54 Afrikaners and things like that, I think our thoughts are basically the same. Obviously, what most people are saying on social media and the horrible things that they're commenting and things like that, I don't agree with. But then if you look at the full picture, I think everyone, not just the Afrikaans people, is tired or are tired of how certain things and the certain policies are being put in South Africa is. So it's not just, I think the emphasis on media is the Afrikaners, because they're trying to paint it as a black and white thing, a racist a thing about race and things like that, instead of the bigger picture where it's every, yes, expect if the policies that they've put in with BEE, it affects not just the Afrikaans people, but it affects the, like you mentioned earlier, the English-speaking white people, it affects the Indian people, and so on and so forth. And media is just portraying everything to be a thing about race. It's not only about race and stuff.
Yeah, three things, just quickly. The first is the thing that causes one to feel despondent is how the politicians react to these things and the things that they say, because it's really not helpful. The second thing that gives me comfort, though, is how many black podcasters in South Africa are complaining about these race-based laws. Okay, and so it's not just amongst white people, I believe, that they're unpopular. I believe there's a large percentage of black population that finds these laws extremely distasteful and brings back memories of apartheid, to be quite honest with you. And then the third thing is, even if you take the employment equity targets, all right, so now I'm a white person, I start a business. What's going to happen now? If I get to 48, 49 people, I'm not going to go over the 50. Because as long as I'm under the 50, I'm not affected by these quotas. I'm going to intentionally stop my business from growing so as not to employ more people. So I'm not exposed to this draconian legislation as far as I'm concerned. So now, many of those people, because the majority of the people are black, many of those people that would be then employed and are not going to get employed, because I'm saying, I'm sorry, I'm not prepared to subject myself to that. And so I'm only prepared to grow to this point. And by the way, if they make it less than 50, then I'm probably going to take my business elsewhere and my entrepreneurial skills. I'm going to leave the country.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the issue, and that's the problem that we're facing. And now looking at the fact that we watched another YouTube channel where there was a meeting that took place with some of the African...
Yeah, this one really shocked me, from BizNews.
Yeah, from BizNews, and it included Hayley Creel, Philip Buys, Dirk Herman, and the ANC Executive Committee, and was facilitated by PAC.
The PAC, listen to me. I just want to tell everyone, the PAC first met with this Afrikaans group, all right? They spoke out, and eventually the PAC said, no, as far as they're concerned, these Afrikaners are white African nationalists. And then the PAC, which was far more extreme from a racial perspective than the ANC in 1994, they mediated between the ANC and the Afrikaans group. I'm telling you, Giggs, there's hope for this country. The Lord's moving. God is moving in a big way. Let me tell you something.
There definitely is. So Dr. Theonis Iloff, speaking on BizNews TV, described the discussion as robust, acknowledging that both sides carry deep mistrust and grievances. Do you agree on that?
Yes. And obviously, you know, he was speaking from the perspective of the Afrikaners, and he said that the meeting got to a conclusion much quicker because of the PAC.
So he spoke about the fact that even though they had mistrust and grievances, there was still a common ground, which is that both groups agreed on the urgency of rebuilding trust and, more importantly, keeping South Africa together. And quoting him, he said, "We don't have to love each other, but we owe it to this country to work together." He speaks about the fact that there was a task team that was formed to dig deeper into the practical solutions with representatives from both the ANC and Afrikaner civil society. So what are your final thoughts on the whole situation, including what he said?
Well, in my opinion, you know, if the ANC and the, you know, Afrikaner organizations can get together in a meeting that is mediated by the Pan-Africanist Congress, my goodness, I mean, what are people complaining about? There's hope for this country. Obviously, one of the things I would disagree with Dr. Tiens is the fact that when he says we don't have to love each other, but we have to work together. I'm a Christian. We're commanded to love all people because every single human being is created in the image of God. So, you know, it makes it easier as well if I love someone to trust him. If I don't love people and I say I just have to work together, then it's like a necessary evil. And, you know, no person for me is a necessary evil. So I would take issue with that, but I would compliment all three parties for actually getting together and having this conversation and for someone to actually speak out about it. And they've also embarked on a journey that may actually come to some sort of outcome that's going to result in a policy framework and a national discourse that's going to be far more positive towards the nation, you know, going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, like I mentioned, instead of focusing on the 54 people that left and making it a thing about race, we need to focus on what are the reasons why South Africans are unhappy with certain things? What are the policies and things that need to change within the country? And Poskev, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, instead of focusing on the 54 that left, focus on the 54 million that remained behind. And that most of them are unhappy, and they're unhappy with the ruling class. And the ruling class needs to take note. And they need to improve their performance, because after all, we do live in a democracy. It's not a kingdom, and so you're not, you know, if you're in a position of power, you're not entitled to that position. You're granted that by the will of the people.
Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation."
Yeah, and that's a very important statement right there, because the reality at the end of the day is that according to the last constitution in South Africa, 83% of the saving population are Christian. So with that in mind, you know, God has granted us reconciliation to himself through Jesus, and he's not only empowered us, he's actually commanded us to engage in the ministry of reconciliation. First of all, getting people reconciled to God, because their eternal destiny is at stake, you know, because of that. That's the first thing. And then secondly, to get people reconciled with each other, the ministry of reconciliation. So any person who's in a church, first of all, you're in South Africa, where there are a lot of Christians, but even if you're a Christian anywhere around the world, we have an obligation through our Christian faith to engage in the ministry of reconciliation. And if you just take a nation like South Africa, that is something that is really, really needed. Okay? It's needed so badly in this country. And so I want to encourage every single person that is Christian in every single church, you know, to really take up the mantle and get involved in the ministry of reconciliation, because the church is the place where South Africa will find hope. And because there's so many people that consider themselves a part of the church in this country, it's why I believe it's not going to be a disastrous future. I believe that, the future looks bright for South Africa, even with the despicable challenges that we face today, you know, with conditions on the ground, with the amount of families that are in tears, burying a member of their family that's been murdered. Even with that, out of the ashes of that destruction, I believe God's going to bring an incredibly beautiful thing. I have real hope for South Africa for the future. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you need to have that hope too, especially if you live in South Africa. That's my message to you.
Amen. This has been an amazing, amazing show. Let us know your thoughts. Comment below in this video and let us know, do you agree with us that we shouldn't be focusing on the 54, but focus on the bigger picture and what's happening in our country? Or are you saying, stuff you guys, I'm going to focus on this race thing with the Afrikaner people? Let us know your thoughts right below on our comments. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me, we've had
Gavin Enslin in studio.
Pastor Gavin Enslin in studio. I will be in the studio next week right here on the political show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.